Hey, the start of something special right here, man. Let's go.
Number one fantasy player right here.
Got past the line. Shut up. Know the rules.
I just want to say this to you. Right now, best in the game. I know.
Hello and welcome in to the Pod After Touchdown Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Hoppin, joined as always by my co-host, Andrew Mackins, and our producer, Garner, for our last episode of the season of the year. Fellas, how are you doing tonight? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, Sam. It was a hell of a year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it went by super quick. I mean, it was 5 months ago where we didn't even know if the season was even going to happen, and miraculously got through at least the entire fantasy football season thus far with a couple hitches and a couple memories with schedule changes and whatnot and things that have put commissioners to the test this year. But it's been a fun one. A lot of surprising players, a lot of fun breakouts, and we're going to talk about all of those guys today on our fantasy awards show, which we're excited to talk about. Garner, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I am not in the tackle bowl for any of my leagues, so I'm pretty happy with that. My dynasty team's in the championship, and like you said, now I'm just happy that, as you point out, I'm reflecting, and you're like, you know what? It is pretty awesome that the entire football season, or at least fantasy season, has happened amidst everything going on when we had no idea if it actually would, or again, we might get like 3 weeks and then just be done. And we got here, and it was a fun ride.
Yeah, I must say, I mean, I was a bit skeptical going into the season as to whether or not they should actually be playing it because of the state of our country. But I've been pleasantly surprised with how well they've handled it. I mean, there have been a couple of breakouts of the virus in a couple teams. And for the most part, players have done a pretty good job of, you know, paying attention to the letter of the law, aside from a couple guys like Dwayne Haskins this past week. But yeah, I mean, it's impressive for a league that big with that many teams and that many players, no doubt.
Totally agree with you. And I'm glad we were able to get through, you know, 16 weeks. We're going to get through week 16. So we wouldn't have these fantasy awards without 16 weeks of play, I don't think. So I'm excited to reflect on some great fantasy performances, maybe some not so great ones across the year, and really talk about a lot of shoulda, coulda, woulda, because I'm a big shoulda guy.
Yeah, we all are at certain points. But we'll kick things off with our kickoff question, go into our mental health minute, talk about our DiGiorno players of the week, and then, like we've teased, we'll do our fantasy awards and wrap things up with some start sits for championship week. So without further ado, let's kick things off.
And this game is underway.
So today's episode is going to be fairly reflective on this past year. And the kickoff question today is, what's one macro level takeaway from this season that you want to remember heading into your drafts for next year? So, you know, middle of August, you're going to listen back to this episode. What do you want to hear yourself give advice about?
I'm going to have to, so I don't forget, but definitely want to give advice to my future self of make sure you focus on getting a bona fide QB this year. I know that, you know, value above replacement in the drafts is definitely a route you can take, and I get that side of the argument, but we're kind of reaching a point where there's enough quarterbacks out there that have that dual threat capability, high floor, high upside with their you know, ability to run the football, and that these guys are just a big enough jump up on the rest of the guys in your league who are attempting to stream and attempting to scramble. And I support being able to stream if you believe that you're good enough to do it week in and week out. And I think for me, it's just easier to like find one of those guys I really like and set it and forget it, like I was able to do with Kyler Murray in a couple spots. So I wish I would have had Kyler in more leagues. I know Russell Wilson's been underperforming as of late, but I would have loved to have him early on in the season. It's a lot more comforting than having to choose between Gardner Minshew and Matthew Stafford in weeks 3 through 6. So
it is a bit of a pick your poison. And we were having a, you know, some sending some tweets back and forth earlier today about the value of some quarterbacks going into next season, because you have the guys like Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts. You know, Herbert's breakout was a little bit earlier in the year, but certainly I don't think anyone was expecting to the degree in which he's performed this year. And we saw a lot of course correction with the dual threat quarterbacks getting pushed quite a bit up draft board. So it'll be interesting to see sort of how those ADPs play out next year. The macro level takeaway for me, and this is something that I've always struggled with in my rather conservative nature, but it's really, really hounding the waiver wire the first week or two of the season, because there are always those guys that it just pop off in 1 week, and it's, you need to be, you know, you need to be level-headed about things and not overreact too much, but really analyzing, you know, if a guy does pop off, analyzing his situation, trying to think of some comparable situations and how players responded in those scenarios, and using your fab wisely, because if you don't use it, you might be out of playoff contention by the time that, you know, someone else pops off. So I think really doing my due diligence and not trying to overreact, but make sure that I'm actually taking these guys into consideration and not just brushing them by the wayside because either A, I have a set, you know, running back or wide receiver core, or B, I think it's just a bit of a fluke in week one.
I like that one a lot, Sam. And I think I've gotten more aggressive since I heard in 2019, I heard this advice where it was, you know, after week one, it was a couple guys like Marquise Brown and Terry McLaurin who popped off and were pretty valuable off the waiver wire. And the thing that stuck with me was that is your only chance to get those guys because someone's going to pick them up. So you have to really, yeah, do your diligence, like you said, and decide how much he's worth to your team.
Yeah. Without a doubt. Garner, anything from you?
You took exactly what I was going to say pretty much is that don't be afraid to take a stab at guys on the waiver wire. And kind of going off that too is don't try not to get sentimental about players on your team or like think too much about like, well, I draft him with my fourth round pick. So like once the season gets going, that's all out the door. And again, like that value might appeal to some people, but if they're not performing, it doesn't matter if you draft him in the fourth round. And if the guy on the waiver wire is James Robinson, who's going to be the RB4 on the year, take him, grab him, take a chance on him. Again, not saying you have to drop your top guys or your top draft picks right away, but again, mid-season, you can get that out of your head that it doesn't matter at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't even need the season to start to have ADP not matter right after the draft. It just doesn't matter because player value changes so much even in the preseason. But let's move on. We've got our mental health minute. Andrew, I'm going to let you take this one this week as we've got some unfortunate news from John Mulaney, who has gone into rehab because of some struggles with addiction, but you've got something from someone in the sports world about the situation.
Yeah, I noticed that I saw the news about John Mulaney and I was surprised. I didn't even know that he had addiction issues or addiction struggles. And that was interesting to see earlier in the day. I thought, oh, that's good. Like his family supports him. He's checking into rehab. So he's doing the right things after having relapsed. But to translate this into, you know, the mental health side of things, Katie Nolan actually tweeted about this and said, let the news of John Mulaney be a reminder to us all that we are going through a collective trauma with this pandemic. And for many of us, that's on top of struggles we were already having. So that could be, you know, addiction, that could be mental illness, whatever it may be. And then she said, what I like the most, check on your people. Asking for help isn't cowardly, it's courageous. And so a couple things in there, obviously with John Mulaney checking in, no one is immune to mental stress or you know, issues like these. It affects everyone in different ways. It's always important to be courageous in seeking for help. I think we've preached that a few different times on the podcast. But the bigger thing is check on your people. You know, we say like, hey, reach out, like war sounding boards. But I think it's important sometimes for us to reach out to the people that we love and care about and just ask them like, how are you doing? Like, or how is work going? And I think when you ask those questions, people are more willing to open up about it and tell the truth. If you guys are like, if you're close to the person you're asking, instead of us just sitting, you know, on this podcast and saying like, reach out to us. Like it, and that I think will help people open up. Obviously it takes any type of courage to say anything, but if you open up the door for them, I think it, people that have those issues, it makes it a lot easier for them to open up.
To your point that no one's immune to mental stress and that it affects everyone differently, everyone deals with it differently too. And hopefully, you know, throughout this season, we've given people some healthy outlets and methods to do that. And you're not, hopefully not abusing drugs or alcohol for that, but it, you know, it's important to, like you said, check on your people, offer yourself up to others. Asking for help isn't cowardly, it's courageous, really hits home as well. I don't think it's ever a bad thing to admit that you are struggling. And before we get out on this, want to remind people that we are still trying to raise money for the Fantasy Football Mental Health Initiative. We've gotten a number of donations over the past week or so as I've launched a new website, fantasyevaluator.com. And I'm not charging for that website, and a lot of people have been using it. So I've asked people to donate to our mental health initiative, but still going strong, trying to get as much funding and awareness for mental health issues as we can, and really just want to, again, provide some ways to fund some different things going on with the National Alliance for Mental Illness. So
quick golf clap for Sam for building out this whole damn website. I think you've added a ton of value to the fantasy community this year, plenty more than I think Garner and I have sitting on the don't even know how to compare like the value we've added to versus the value that you've added to the community. So I appreciate what you've done and what you've put out on Twitter, and I think that the donations we've received are reflective of the work you've put in. So I think that's awesome.
Well, I appreciate that. It's certainly not a competition. I've enjoyed doing it and getting more involved, and have been very blessed, you know, not to get sentimental, but have been very blessed with the opportunities that I've been given. You know, I've said it once, but I'll say it again, and I've tweeted this out, that I would not be here where I am without the two of you and my lovely fiance, Christina, who has been extremely supportive and helping me make the website pretty awesome and let me take some time to work on that. So appreciate all the support from the listeners, our followers. You guys have been, I've thoroughly enjoyed this podcast as always. And you guys have been a lot of fun to do this podcast with this year.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And sorry I cut you off there, but I thought I wanted to give credit where credit was due. And like Sam was saying, you can still donate to the GoFundMe. We don't have any plans of closing it, obviously. Yeah. So we're just going to keep that going and get as much donations in there, as many donations in there as possible.
All right. Well, let's move on to the penultimate segment of Pod After Touchdown. It is our DiGiorno Players of the Week. Garner, hit the music.
All right, Sam, I'm going to start off first because this guy could have torpedoed your lineup before we even got to Sunday, and that is Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen, I love you, man. You are amazing. You got all of us fantasy managers this far into the fantasy semifinals. But you were warming up on Thursday Night Football against the Raiders, and you yelled into the camera, "Don't sit me," despite having a spicy hamstring injury there. He played to our emotions, and we all fell for it. One reception, 17 yards, crushed that wide receiver spot where you played him. If you're... Oh my God, Thursday Night Football was rough, and I'm probably going to start him again next week. It's ultimate torture.
I'm going to bookend this with another wide receiver on Monday Night Football who actually just ruined Fantasy Manager Weeks, and that's Juju Smith-Schuster. People were starting him, hoping for him to pull out, 14 points in PPR. Some people just had a comfortable lead that they were going to, cruise into the fantasy championships with, and he fumbled the ball and lost yards, and it was terrible, and he lost points, he lost people matchups. It was just absolutely terrible after he dances on the Bengals logo.
Oh my god,
you cannot follow up a troll like that with a performance like that.
It perfect was bookend,
embarrassing.
Well,
embarrassing.
Well,
on Monday Night Football again, you're praying and thinking about what's going to happen, and he does nothing. But for a bunch of fantasy managers, he was the best player of the week. So we press on, though. We're going to do our fantasy awards. We're each going to give our nominations, or I guess selections for each of these awards, talk about them a little bit, and just reflect on the season. So we'll start off with a bang. And this one is a little bit up for debate, I think. And that's the rookie of the year. So pretty wide open, pretty self-explanatory. Andrew, I'll let you take this one first.
Thank you, Sam. You'll find an interesting theme throughout some of these players we talk about. And kicking it off with rookie of the year, I'm going to go with Justin Jefferson. This guy fills in the Stephon Diggs vacancy in Minnesota, and despite what you want to say about Kirk Cousins, this rookie went on a fucking tear. Like, he has some single digit performances, but a lot of ceiling weeks throughout the season. I went back, I'm looking at his game logs, and it's amazing to think that his first big game was only as early as week 3. Like, sometimes we think it takes a while for these rookies to come on. And Justin Jefferson showed it in the first plus matchup he had. He was the number 8 wide receiver in PPR scoring, or he is thus far. There's still 2 weeks of the season left. But I think you look through his season, and you could have legitimately started him every week from week 3 on, and he's probably gotten you to your fantasy championship.
That's a great pick. I've loved watching Justin Jefferson this year. I mean, it sucked to see Stephon Diggs leave, but Jefferson has hung in there exceptionally well and has just outperformed our wildest expectations. I mean, for how run heavy that offense is, I mean, I think Jefferson should win the real life offensive rookie of the year, just because he's been so far and ahead the best player at his position among rookies. I mean, Justin Herbert's had a good year on the whole, and I think it would be a bit of a cop out to give it to the quarterback. But my vote for rookie of the year would be Antonio Gibson, who just stepped into a very, very difficult role on, at least early in the season, one of the worst teams in the NFL. I mean, Darius Geis got suspended and subsequently got cut. That's a name we haven't heard in a while, but currently sits inside the top 15 among running backs in points per game. And it took a while for him to get that workload, but there was this immediate, spurt of hype for him once Geis got cut. And he was getting drafted in the 5th, 6th round of drafts, and he just blew expectations out of the water and lived up to them. And I think, you know, that's the round of running backs that is usually considered the dead zone and not where you want to be taking them. But he certainly paid off his ADP and was just phenomenal to watch. I mean, we saw his big performance on Thanksgiving and ended up being one of the most reliable running backs in all of fantasy football.
I think that was a really good one. I rookie running backs certainly impressed us across the board, I think, at least at the second half of the season.
Yeah.
That's actually, I was going to chime in here. I don't have a guy for every award, but for rookie of the year, actually, I think I'd go James Robinson. And if we're looking at like his like backstory and everything too, again, coming up undrafted, filling Fournette's role on a team that just seems like they're trying to lose. Like, are they trying? Are they not? It just isn't working out. But I mean, he has been a bright spot over there. RB4 on the year and just impressive week in and week out. And an amazing waiver wire find for everyone, because I don't think he was on radar until the season started.
Yeah, it is truly crazy, and I wonder if that's almost how Sam and I didn't pick Robinson, just because he was like an afterthought, really. Like, these other two guys, you were potentially drafted and on your roster for the whole season, but Robinson, if you picked him up off the waivers before the season even started, you were in a really great place.
I think this is a good segue, then. Going to go a little bit out of order on our show notes here, but talk about the waiver wire pickup of the year. And for me, it's James Robinson, because again, he wasn't getting drafted and he didn't have that notoriety. I mean, closer to the season, he was probably drafted in a couple of leagues, but he had zero expectations, which again, you talk about value over your expectation. He definitely, you know, I think blows Gibson out of the water, but you know, he's the RB4. I mean, if you picked him up, you are likely, I mean, you'd probably definitely made the playoffs, because you got him essentially for free and you had a decent, you know, ideally had a decent team around him. So he's the guy who came to mind for me when I was thinking about our kickoff question too, because, you know, it's not a great situation, and he had Chris Thompson that he was, you know, competing for playing time with early on, but he quickly showed that he is the best back and should be on the field for every single down.
I think a quick note to follow up there is that if some of these rewards or awards that we're giving out can be instructive, like, it, to Garner's point with his macro level takeaway for the season, like, don't really factor in your ADP too much after the draft happens, because that could be, a lot can change within the 1 to 2 weeks between when the season starts and the draft. And you could be picking up James Robinson, or you could be like, oh, I don't want to drop anyone that I already drafted. I want to see what happens with him in week one, when clearly James Robinson is like the guy to pick up. And it's kind of similar to James Conner too. Like, people were on top of James Conner when he broke out with the Lev Bell holdout situation. I think, you know, hopefully you drafted him or you picked him up before week one, something like that. Those are obvious guys that, you know, in hindsight look like awesome waiver wire picks. I'll quickly go through mine, because I think that, you know, reflection was more important. Mine was just Mike Davis. I think, to your point, Sam, with macro level takeaway, is as soon as Christian McCaffrey left, and in that game, Mike Davis filled in for McCaffrey, I think he saw like 8 or 6 targets right off the bat. And that was enough for me to just like buy in, spend all the fab possible. This is zero RB, you know, strategy. Like, we're going to spend a big amount of our fab to get him. And hopefully he helped you win some weeks early in the season because of what he was able to do, like filling in for that McCaffrey role in Carolina.
And for my waiver wire pickup of the year, I'm going the same thing like you were saying. We were talking about, again, going out and getting those guys. I want to pick James Robinson, but I gave him rookie, so I switched it up.
You give the guy multiple awards.
Oh, I know. Are you going to give James Robinson the
– The guy also deserves it too is Justin Herbert. If you went and picked him up after week one, again, like, he gets in week two and has a stellar performance, and he doesn't slow down from there. He has like one bad, like truly bad week throughout the year, I think. Mm-hmm. And again, he was one where I don't think anyone was drafting him because they're like, he might start halfway through the season, but who knows? So he wasn't worth a draft pick.
Right.
He gets the starter. If you took that shot on him, it paid off for you. And I mean, I'm sure he won you some games.
Yeah. Yeah. Jalen Hurts comes to mind too. He's going to be winning people some championships, or at least getting them into the championships. But let's go to our next one. Won't spend a ton on this because these players did not do much for us this year. And that's the late round flyer that everyone was hyping up that did absolutely nothing. For me, it's Mecole Hardman. I mean, it was just like, oh, he's with Patrick Mahomes. He's going to do awesome. And I think a lot of it was built around the expectation that Sammy Watkins would either not be on the team or would take a step back. But even when Sammy Watkins went down, it was DeMarcus Robinson stepping up, and Mecole Hardman has shown some flashes. And I mean, I think I had a punt return a couple weeks ago, but he has done nothing for even best ball teams. It's just been bad for him.
Yeah, that really sucks, because he had like 7 touchdowns last year, and you thought that meant that he would have earned more opportunity. But I think that's a really good one, because I know some people are like hoping to hold on to him for a while too and see the production come, but it's certainly much better than mine. Although I do think mine might be funnier. Since you mentioned Antonio Gibson, does anyone listening to this podcast remember Bryce Love? Bryce Love. I don't even know if he's on the Washington football team roster anymore.
I saw his name and I thought about doing him too.
I might have drafted him, and I
drafted him in one of because, my PPR leagues.
Because you know there were those people out there, and I was probably one of them, who said something to the effect of, oh, Antonio Gibson's great and everything, but you know, look, let's look at Bryce Love. I mean,
yes.
He's the cheaper of the two guys. You can get him in the 12th round.
Exactly. I would rather draft Bryce Love at his ADP than Antonio Gibson at his ADP.
Because the floor is the same, but the ceiling is...
He was a total zero.
Have the same conversation with several running backs this next off.
He was a total zero RB candidate, and you know, he... You know, to make the argument for why you drafted him is just another bullet in the chamber, but he never did anything. You know, I don't think he ever even saw the field. So that one I had to put in there. Like, of all the zero RB candidates out there, he had to have been the worst, and someone I definitely should have dropped for James Robinson.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I had a similar situation with my pick here. And again, kind of on the funnier side, because it literally amounted to nothing. AJ Dillon.
Oh,
everyone was kind of giving him some hype, and it was just like, I don't know about Aaron Jones, because they got AJ Dillon now. Jamal Williams probably won't end up doing anything. And then AJ Dillon started to fall a little bit more towards draft time. And like, he ended up getting picked up at the end of draft. So like, it wasn't that big of a cost that you were trying to risk it on him, but everyone had this thought in their head that, like, I don't know, I think he can start taking over and steal stuff from Aaron Jones. And he's seen the field like 10 times this year.
Bro, my friend Tyler, you guys know Tyler, he drafted AJ Dillon in the 9th round or something. Like, and he already had like Aaron Jones on his team, and it was a ridiculous handcuff. Okay. I think we should move on, but
let's move on. Let's celebrate our own victories a little bit here. We gotta hype ourselves up, and let's talk about our personal best, just preseason call of the year. Someone that you were maybe higher on consensus then, or and ended up living up to expectations. Andrew, who was that for you?
I actually went back through our 40 plus pages of show notes to see what I had said about this guy at the time. It was like all the way back in May when we did, you know, guys that we had ranked higher than consensus. And for me, it had to have been Stephon Diggs. I didn't have him as a my guy, but I was definitely higher on him than you, Sam. And some of the notes I mentioned is just the fact that he is one of the best wide receiver talents in the league. The Bills traded for him for a reason. And that kind of ties in with this theme of Justin Jefferson filling in for him. You know, in terms of being the best talent, he's way John Brown and Cole Beasley are great, and Cole Beasley's been a good player for fantasy this year, but he's miles ahead of them. And I know that I also said Josh Allen has the rocket arm to connect with him deep, which I find funny in hindsight. But the bigger thing here was just the opportunity to, for him to see 125 plus targets and be the wide receiver one on the team was the most straightforward thing for me. I didn't see any other guy taking that away from him. So I wish I would have practiced what I preached a little bit more here. I only had him in one redraft league. But definitely a call that I'm glad played out.
Yeah, his season is going to be interesting as far as how we evaluate receivers on new teams specifically going forward, because he sort of landed in, I mean, and this was a different situation than a free agent going to a new team, because this team actively went out and got him. They traded major capital in the form of a first round pick for him. And the narrative up to that point was receivers on new teams just do not succeed. Him and DeAndre Hopkins have sort of bucked that trend. And do we see situation, you know, players like at that caliber? I mean, Allen Robinson is the one that comes to mind, and he's a little bit older. So, you know, we'll see there. But if he ends up on a new team, how do drafters end up valuing him? The guy that I'm most proud of is a wide receiver as well, currently in the top five in points per game, and that's Calvin Ridley. I was so excited about him. I mean, you could see that he was starting to become the 1A in that option towards the end of last year, and it certainly helped that Julio Jones missed a couple games because Ridley just popped off in those games that he didn't play. But even besides that, I mean, he was just extremely explosive, crushed it in every facet, and has been a superstar, will likely be a top five fantasy wide receiver going into next season.
I love that pick. I feel like no one was really talking about his third year breakout because he had already shown us how great he could be, and yet his ceiling was even higher than what we could have imagined. And I have to put a little egg on my face just for, you know, the emotional attachment to Julio Jones and thinking he still had like a swan song in him. Obviously part of that was from injury, but yes, Ridley at his ADP versus Julio at his ADP, definitely a great call, Sam.
So let's flip things on its head then and talk about our worst preseason calls of the year. You might have an idea of where this is going for me. And it was my bold take that no rookie wide receivers would finish in the top 30 among wide receivers. Just, you know, with the impact that COVID had, no preseason, limited training camps, I did not expect these rookie wide receivers to get as involved as quickly as they did. And there had been this stigma attached with them that, you know, it really takes until the second half of the year for them to break out and make sure, you know, and get acquainted to the offense and learn their system. But as it stands right now, there are four rookie wide receivers in the top 30. Five. I missed one. So I really just shit the bed on that one. I mean, they've been everything that this class has been hyped up to be and more, and it'll be exciting to see them in the rest of their careers. I mean, you've got guys like Brandon Ayuk and T. Higgins, who I think were a bit sleeperish, at least in redraft terms heading into the year, because they didn't have those secure roles, but they've been exceptional in their first seasons. And you know, we still have guys like Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs who have yet to sort of show their full potential. So we'll be excited to see what they do in the years to come.
Totally agree with you there. And I'm excited to, you know, think about this down the road of whether the young guns coming in from the 2021 class can actually match what these guys in 2020 and even 2019 did. those classes in terms of wide receivers and running backs could be a bit more of a outlier, but we can talk about that in our off-season prep or podcasts. I'm going to pivot to the opposite side of the career spectrum here in terms of my worst preseason call of the year, and it was Adam Thielen. I was so wrong on this one. I checked back in May, and I had him ranked at wide receiver 26 when we did that conversation. I put out a hot take. It was probably like one of my most engaged with tweets of the football season, that he wouldn't even be a wide receiver 3. And lo and behold, again, don't sleep on Kirk Cousins' arm. He is the wide receiver 12 in PPR, wide receiver 8 in standard. So I can't even say that my process was 100% accurate on this one, because I thought that, oh, they're just going to run the ball so much that like no wide receiver will be able to get anything going here. And it turned out that it was just supposed to be, oh, Justin Jefferson would take away. But I didn't really even factor in Jefferson because he's a rookie. And he's just been, he's had plenty of weeks that have helped you win, and having an aggregate ranking of, you know, number 12, he's pretty good value in the third round of drafts. I will dig my heels in on the fact that his performances have been like super touchdown dependent, and he has had a couple bust weeks, but if you drafted him, you're happy with what he did for you. And I don't know if that's going to change my process for next year, because obviously I faded him for reasons of being old and trying to avoid the bust or avoid the landmine, but the result did not pan out for me.
Yeah, certainly did not. Let's get to our next one. This is a bit of a niche one, and this is the best fourth year breakout player of the year. I mean, you could have gone with guys like Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Evan Ingram, all just having fantastic fourth year seasons, but I got to hand this one out to Corey Davis. I mean, it's setting career season. You know,
I knew this was a bit.
Season in every major statistical category right now. Just, you know, it's great to see him in his fourth season in the NFL, the number 5 overall pick in that 2017 draft, just finally paying dividends for fantasy football managers who drafted him way back then.
Yeah, I had Corey Davis too. And it's because I read that and I'm like, this is a fucking Corey Davis bit. We haven't talked about Corey Davis in long enough time. And you know, it's a testament to the Titans offense that it can support both Corey Davis and AJ Brown. And then, you know, Jonnu Smith kind of falls off the ledge there. But yeah, some of these performances, man, getting over 20 points multiple times in a season is amazing for this guy.
Look, I made the comp to Devontae Parker earlier this offseason, and I think you shuddered at that thought, but he really has turned into Devontae Parker, because he's probably going to get drafted in like the 6th round next year, and it won't be by me.
Let's see how these last 2 weeks pan out, because he's had some other like dud performances in here too. I cannot wait to see what Corey Davis's ADP is.
Do you want to guess where he's ranked on the season among wide receivers?
Oh, I'm looking at it. He's a wide receiver 3, which is what I thought he was going to be last season. Wide receiver 27 in PPR. Is that specifically what you were referring to?
Yeah, I was just curious if you knew. I actually thought he might be a little bit higher, because he has had a couple of boom weeks here, but yeah, he has had some duds as well.
All right, next, let's move on from this. Like, Gardner's got a point.
Hold on, real quick. I just want to say, number one, when I saw this, I was like, that's weird. And then I realized, I'm like before even looking at it, I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is the Corey Davis Award here. And I'd like to, again, if we name it the Corey Davis Award, I'm going to award it to Dalvin Cook. He's actually fourth year as well and is having a historic year. So okay. My Corey Davis Award is going to Dalvin Cook.
We will henceforth call this the Corey Davis Award.
Okay, got three more here. We're going to hit these pretty quickly because I think we've talked about a lot of these players quite a bit this season. Our next one is Mr. Reliable, just the guy you could count on week in and week out. And this is the guy who I actually considered for MVP, and that's Travis Kelce. He has had double-digit targets in six of his last seven games. He has been far and away the tight end one. If you spent a second or first round pick on him, you got everything you wanted and more out of that pick. You should not be disappointed by that. I mean, he's been exceptional. And I don't know if he still leads the league in receiving yards. I know he did prior to last week, but he's just been on another level in his age 30 or 31 season. You talked earlier about not wanting to stream quarterbacks. You did not have to stream tight ends if you had Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. He was a clear advantage this season. I'm actually going to talk about another Chief. The first one that came to mind for me, actually, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, man. You know, if you drafted him in the first round, you were getting that solid floor of 10 points a week, week in and week out. Mr. Reliable. Okay, so as you were talking about Travis Kelce, I had to look up someone else, but that was my initial thought. I'll go with Tyreek Hill. One game under 10 points in half PPR. He's the number one wide receiver, right? I mean, if you take out that 50-point game, I think you'd still love to have him on your team. He didn't really, you know, shit the bed. He's not going to be a DiGiorno player of the week for you. And it's just a testament to how concentrated this Chiefs offense has been. You know, it fucked over Mecole Hardman, but it did wonders for Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we've got our least valuable player, the LVP. I'm going to let you take this one first because I had some struggles with this because there were a lot of candidates out there.
Yeah, and unfortunately, a lot of them come from the injury side of things in my mind. But I didn't want to, you know, beat the dead horse in terms of CEH. So I went with Saquon Barkley. And yes, a lot of that's because he tore his ACL in week two. He's out for the year. But, you know, the two games you played him, he got you 9.6 and then he got you 2.8. So a rough look for him after getting injured last year and then blowing up in the playoffs, maybe winning you a championship potentially if you made it. And then, you know, he's the number two pick and he does that. He gets you 1 week's worth of Clyde Edwards-Helaire points across the two games he played. So that was the first one that came to mind for me.
I'm going to give it to Ezekiel Elliott. It's, you know, the first couple, unfortunately, his season sort of cratered when Dak went down and he has not played well as of late. You know, you've still sort of felt that, need to continue to start him because, again, you spent a first round pick on him. He was getting the workload and he just did not perform. And then you see Tony Pollard come in and do what he did, just sort of, you know, puts a little more salt in the wound seeing him perform in a way that Zeke really hasn't in several weeks. Okay, let's wrap things up. We've got our most valuable player, the MVP of fantasy football. Andrew, I'm going to let you start with this one as well.
Yeah, I'll keep it quick because you actually already mentioned him. And again, it was a guy that you had an amazing call on and had him ranked very appropriately. Calvin Ridley is my fantasy MVP on this season. A guy you could get as late as the turn on the third, fourth round. And he's the number five wide receiver in PPR, number four in standard. Week in and week out, you know, other than a dud game against the Packers and in week four, where the Packers just blew up that game script, and then 5.7 injury against the Panthers in week eight, injury in week nine. Other than that, he's been so solid for you. There's nothing else to say. He's been amazing, and Matt Ryan is, I think, just going to continue to feed him for the foreseeable future.
That's a great answer. It makes me feel good about my call on Calvin Ridley earlier this season. I've gone back and forth on this answer multiple times because there are several worthy candidates. I'm going to give a co-MVP to Davante Adams and Alvin Kamara, who, yes, they were first-round picks, but they have been carrying your fantasy football teams to the playoffs and likely to the championships. I mean, Davante Adams, on a per-game basis, is the number one wide receiver at 25 points per game. And again, aside from, you know, that includes the one game in which he left earlier, he probably had like 5 points in that game. So, you know, on a points per game basis, that in the games that he fully finished, he's just been absolutely crushing. I mean, him and Rodgers have had a mind meld this season. And then Alvin Kamara, obviously having Michael Thomas go down, helped him quite a bit with getting as many receptions as he did. So he's just been awesome after a bit of a down year last year, just came through in the clutch. And then I want to give an honorable mention to Will Fuller. Obviously had the suspension a couple weeks ago, but still sits as the wide receiver 22, despite not playing in the last three weeks. I mean, he had six straight games with a touchdown and just absolutely crushed it in the games that he played in, and a real bad look for the injury experts out there saying that he was injury prone.
Yeah, I love those. I think we could give some, you know, special shout outs to QBs as well, particularly Aaron Rodgers. If you took a shot on him again, I think you're feeling pretty good about that one. Garner, are you going to crown James Robinson or did you pick someone else?
No, I actually decided to give the double award here to Dalvin Cook. Award him my back-to-back here. I mean, he's RB1, standard 2 in PPR. He's averaging 24.4 points per game in PPR on the year, which, I mean, is just, if you can get that on average from your RB1, I mean, that's a fantastic place to start for your team and your score going forward. I think he had 1 week this year under 10 points and then missed one game due to injury. So, I mean, only missing two, or only not having him perform for over 20 points for two games is just, I mean, Mr. Reliable MVP right there. That,
yeah, he's crazy, man. He's, now that I'm looking at it, he's a candidate for 101 next year. I haven't heard that yet, but I've heard top three. So,
yeah. Okay. That does it for our fantasy awards for the 2020 season. I'm thinking about week 16, which is championship week. We're going to wrap things up with some rapid fire start sits to hopefully give you some peace of mind on some players. The first one here, we've got CeeDee Lamb at the Philadelphia Eagles or Jamison Crowder versus the Cleveland Browns. Guess I'll go with Crowder.
But this one was tough, and I went Crowder as well, even though both receivers are averaging just over six targets the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's not great. our next one is Russell Wilson versus the Los Angeles Rams or Ryan Tannehill at the Green Bay Packers. I'm going to go with Tannehill. He's just been on one the past couple weeks, and Russell Wilson is no longer in the kitchen cooking.
Agreed. Game environment, baby. Homer, baby. I love the Sunday night game. Titans at Packers. Give me Tannehill.
Our next one is Deontay Johnson versus the Indianapolis Colts or Robert Woods at the Seattle Seahawks. This is a difficult one as well. I'm going to go with Woods. I was about to say Johnson, but I'm going to go with Woods. I mean, that Steelers offense just does not look right these days.
I went with Woods as well. Not that
the Rams does either.
Yeah, I mean, it's one game versus the Jets. People think the Steelers will turn it around this week after their slump because that's what the Steelers do. But I think last week we hoped Cooper Kupp would get it going against the Jets, and Robert Woods ended up being Mr. Reliable as well. So I like Robert Woods against Seattle for sure.
Okay, our next one is a pair of former Steelers. It's Antonio Brown at the Detroit Lions or Le'Veon Bell versus Atlanta. We've got CEH out for this game. So Le'Veon Bell promoted to starter status. I'm going to go with AB. I think the Lions defense is just trash. And he scored a touchdown this past week. I think he can do it again this week.
I'm going to go on the opposite side. I'm going to go with the other killer B here, Le'Veon Bell. It comes down to the fact that it's like the Tampa Bay offense spreading those wide receivers thin in terms of their opportunity versus Le'Veon Bell. You know, if Darrell Williams steals a touchdown from Le'Veon Bell, I'll eat crow on that. But I think he's got the pathway to opportunity, and he's probably decently fresh as well.
Okay, our second to last one is a pair of rookies, one of which we've mentioned earlier. That's J.K. Dobbins versus the New York Giants or Antonio Gibson, assuming he plays, versus the Carolina Panthers. And I'm going to go with Gibson. I think if he is active, he gets slotted back into his workhorse role. And Dobbins has had a nice couple of games here, but still struggling to get that workhorse role.
I figured you were going to go Gibson's because you included him in here, and I have no clue what's going on with the injury situation. So I'm going to assume that, you know, J.K. Dobbins being the healthier guy is the guy I would be playing here. He seems like the RB1 now, so despite the carry numbers. So Dobbins for me.
Our last one here is a quarterback matchup to help Andrew select his quarterback for the championship. It's Justin Herbert versus the Denver Broncos or Jalen Hurts versus the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to go with Hurts. I mean, that Cowboys defense is not good. Hurts has been doing extremely well. He has the dual threat ability, and I just don't know if Herbert will even need to do enough to keep them in the game. I got Hurts all the way.
Oh, I should just follow your advice, because then you'll get a championship by proxy in this league. It's very emotional decision to say this is the guy who got me here, Justin Herbert, so I'm going to stick with him and he'll, you know, get me enough points. But I do like that rushing upside / floor. Oh my God. I can't pick one for anyone because I'm going to have to ultimately make this decision, and I don't want to go against whatever my advice is on a Tuesday. So I actually recuse myself from this decision for now. I like both, but I totally agree with your Hurts argument there.
Garner, who you got?
I'm torn. I'd be torn as well, because I feel like Herbert's going to be the more like reliable choice here. But again, if you're going for upside and it's championship weekend, I might lean towards Hurts and that extra running potential. Again, if go big or go home, I think I'm leaning towards Hurts.
All right. Well, Andrew, it's going to hurt if you make the wrong quarterback decision, especially in championship week. Once again, thank you to all of the listeners for your unbridled support this season. We've had a fun ride. We hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful holiday season. Get to enjoy some time off and relax a bit. But for Andrew Mackins, at Andrew Mackins, for Garner, at Garnther, I am Sam Hoppen, at Sam Hoppen. You can follow our podcast account at PodAfterTD. And with that, the 2020 NFL season kick is good.